Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
school project for Anzac Day, a remembrance day of an Australian battle in 1915, which was probably not well planned, went rather poorly. We took a square kilometre or 3 square kilometres at most of Turkish territory, got badly beaten and just went home with our tails between our legs. We sort of, our greatest thing was being able to retreat without a single loss of life, which was sort of the biggest victory there. But we have the duty, I suppose, the problem of remembering Anzac Day in a way that engages kids. Now, I'm just doing this as I'm going to have a few breaks as I go home from Scouts, dropping my daughter at Scouts. And I'm doing this podcast for a friend called Warren, of an old, I suppose, a veteran, who I've taken off to the RSL, but I couldn't stay with him because I had to go off and actually, what did I have to do? I had to drop my kids at Scout, so I left poor Warren at the RSL in good friends, taking him upstairs, which is great. I sort of looked after him for a while. I just got to really get my thoughts back. And I was able to describe, you know, why I wanted to speak to the people at the Penrith RSL, because at the Glenbrook RSL, my efforts to do something modern and engaging is just meeting what you call skeptical. It's sort of like sort of thing you want, interest level that you want people outside the RSL. Interested people inside the RSL want to actually achieve something. So what is the actual thing that I want to do? I want to actually, I'm sure that's the way to Ross Crescent. However, I'll go up to the next thing, check my speakers are on. I've probably got the speakers down on my little mobile phone, which is to direct me where I need to go. Okay, yeah, so the idea is that on the 25th of April each year, oh gosh, I've got to be very careful here. Look at this, sorry. You can't see it, of course, but I can see these cars just crawling, begging to have an accident with me as I turn around the corner. Yep. Okay, so it's this battle day, sort of. There's two military days in Australia. One is Anzac Day, the other one is Armistice Day. Sort of, they're not rah 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 day. There's a days of remembrance of the sacrifice and all that type of stuff. Sort of solemn day, not over the top days. And my plan is, how do you walk into a school and make it happen? And I'll be with you in a second as I actually get things ready. And tell you the next bit. I'm going to have to stop for a microsecond here while I get the things ready. Okay, I'm back on track. That was actually... Normally I go out and buy something or have to do some sort of errand, get a script filled or a blood test or something like that. But that time I just stopped in the car park and diagnosed the problem. I had my thing on mute, and this should directly to this street 8. Oh, I won't give it where it is, but I have to deposit money there for a scouting adventure weekend. Hopefully I can do that. Now, come on, it's a bit suspicious, it's not telling me what to do. So we'll just keep on going. Now, surely it's going to tell me what to do now. Okay. So, look, the basis that we have is that we have the kids have a map of Anzac, the area of Turkey which we're going to invade. They lay it out. Oh, come on, I've just heard something.
In 100 metres, hooray, turn left onto Great Western Highway A32.
Okay, yay!
Turn next left onto Great Western Highway A32.
Okay.
Then turn left onto Taringa Street.
Okay, all right, there we go. Right, so there you go. So a little bit complicated there. So they lay out the map on their school oval to a scale, either 1 to 1,000 or 1 to 200 scale, to lay out the scale of the battlefield. So 1 to 100, the actual battlefield, the entire battle, all 9 months, takes place in a thousandth of that. It's a metre by metre by metre. They obviously can't fit. If it takes in a fifth of it, it's, five metres by 5 metres, which is probably a reasonable distance to move. So it's a area up there, and come on, you're going to tell
take
me.
Take the next left onto Taringa Street.
Okay. It's real, I can tell you what, it's very hard to tell, to spot what to do in these conditions, because it's not that. It's not.
In 300 metres, turn left onto Ross Crescent.
Okay, it's not extremely well lit. So, now, is it this Ross? Okay. That wasn't 300 metres, that's Ross Crescent. It is a crescent, of course, out there. So it also took 9 months. And so we can compress that into not 90 minutes, that's too long, 9 minutes. So people have to...
Take the next left onto Ross Crescent, then your destination will be on the right.
Okay. Here we go, next left. Okay. I have to go around here. Yeah, so basically a school map, kiddies and stuff like that. There's a few more things I have to add to it, but I'm going to have to stop now as I close in the place. Okay, well, just delivered that successfully. It looks a pretty scary place out here. You don't have to go too far to find sort of different places around here. Here's a nice big blocks and modern houses. Now, that's a bit of an anathema nowadays, because any modern house is normally sandwiched between two other modern houses, and there's some sort of wealthy person making money out of it all. But these are lively big blocks and fairly modern houses. Pretty amazing to see. I live in a pretty old, well, it's not old house, it's a sort of 1940s weatherboard, not fibro. This is cement and asbestos put together. The asbestos fibre is safe in these things. Okay, just looking what's going along here. Let's try to work out how we get out of this veritable maze, which is here. Okay, so we're back up to Anzac Day, and we've got the kiddies deciding, do they do a 1 to 1,000 or 1 to 200 map? What scale is the best scale to do? It's one of the things for them to work out what to do. Oh my god, I feel as though I'm going the wrong direction. This is just got a feel about it, because I haven't seen anything turn off. Okay, there's cars coming which way, each way. So they've got to select what map they're going to make, how they make the map, and then they have to select the time scale. And is it 1 to 9 minutes, or you know, how much do they... There's all these selections they have to do. Then they basically run through it, possibly answer a multiple choice. You poor old Aussies didn't get a chance to answer a multiple choice at all of this, after all this. Ah, no, come on. This Ross Crescent is just the most incredible. If it is a crescent, it's the most incredible winding sort of bush route here. Oh, I've got a feeling. That I'm going in the right direction. I can see it. So there's that. And then to just really keep the suspense there, you roll a die to work out whose sides you're on and how it operates. But I suppose you have a history pack. Thank you very much, Mr. Man. Oh my god, that was Ross Crescent. Not for the faint heart of Ross Crescent. Okay, so if you ever come up to Australia, I recommend going up to Blacksand and having a look across Crescent around 7:27 at night, because that's surely the most you won't catch me doing that, mate. That's too dangerous. Okay, so let's do it. It's a school, they've got a package. They've got a map, what scale? A time zone, what time scale? Events, what happens? What's the general gist of what's happening? A sort of comprehension system. And then an enactment in which it's not set before, but there's a roll of the dice to see who gets involved and what. So there's sort of no sort of sense. There's a sense of history, sense of chance of history, that the whole series of factors, a whole series of rolls of the die has determined that this particular combination is happening. Okay, I'm just seeing what I can do here. I'm just trying to look at this. So that's the general gist of it. Now, we encounter an Australia which is a bit of a paradox. We've got the Australians who, at the drop of a hat, went off to Gallipoli. Like, quite seriously, people were volunteering for this escapade for glory of the British Empire and the British Army. The British military, sort of like the US Navy SEALs, they're all, you know, we aren't the best. Oh, rah, rah, rah. And so everyone goes. So you've got this paradox that Gallipoli was just so easy to do. We got the people over there, they boarded the ships, everything went, or tick the box. But if you actually want to recreate Gallipoli in a school, people are, I don't know whether I'm really wanting to do this. A bit too hard. I don't know whether people would approve it. Now, of course, obviously, it means that you need the magic of the king. The king has to tell you to do it, and which is really what I think is required here, is we need some sort of royal assent, royal officialdom. And as soon as we get the royal stamp, it's everyone's in for it, hell for it, so it's going out of fashion. That's my major conclusion. It's just such I don't know. People nowadays, they don't go off to war so easily, but they accept mobile phones and sort of live with fake news and stuff like that. So nowadays we're a lot more sceptical. We'd want to see footage of it before our bottom line is we've got to see that Syrian refugee, 3-year-old refugee in the surf just washed up. And that really goes social media. And it's more important that the image is arresting, but it's also got a statistic next to it. We can now put something next to it. Now, back in 1915 or 1914, when we're just summing up anyone who was just hanging around the place, they'd say, did you know that blah, blah, blah has killed all the women and children in the hospital and been really bad, and British Empire, rah, rah, and they're off. You know, where are you going? I'm off to recruit and just do my bit. Now, of course, things are a little bit different. Nowadays, people can identify you on footage and hunt you down and do all this sort of thing. Back then, you had the anonymity of just poor information. So you could basically commit a war crime and no one would know about it. You'd have a few minutes around. No one would do an exposé on you a bit later. So things have really, really changed. And it is really a significant part of the Gallipoli story is that Gallipoli, where we just want to make it nice, extract the bad bit, you know, people getting hurt, and the good bit of it is people learning about it, sort of learning the impact, it's like a big turning point. It's sort of the jumping the shark in the Australian, I don't know if anyone's heard of the term jumping the shark. It was in Happy Days and Fonzie, where they were really running out of things to do, and thank you, really running out of things to do, and he had a shark in the swimming pool, and he, as the Fonz, had to jump the shark. And the idea is that at a particular point in time, that piece of history became just too jaded, too extreme, and people sort of switched off it. So, in essence, at various a certain amount of time, the US have jumped the shark. It's very hard to protect people's liberty for the 50th time in 100 years. You know, it's worth waking, the ultimate sacrifice for king and country, blah, blah, blah. So at that time it made sense, but we have really changed, and we are massive consumers of information. The amount of information people had back in 1915 is infinitesimally small. So it's sort of well worth the reflection time, because people did it there. And we sort of are basically censoring. Essentially, there's this... if you've got a new idea of how to do it, well, it's... You know, if I've got a dumb idea, well, I don't want to do anything new, I don't have to justify. I can just do that. I can just do what I did last year. I don't... it's with me. But if you've got a new idea, I can sit back, having not done actually anything creative at all in, I don't know, 50 years or something like that, and except reinforce my attitude that doing nothing creative is great. And it's sort of like the... that's very much the status quo. Look, I'm a little bit... not jaded, but I do think we need have to really ask what's going on here. Well, of course, this is just absolute nightmare material here. What on earth is going on here? Oh, this person's parallel parking as if in a way that I would never... He's not... Oh, okay, thanks a lot for that. These cars are letting us through, which is great. So there's these... real resonant issues that the Battle of Gallipoli is going to be fought a second time, and the battle this time is to get the people off their ass and explaining and teaching things and not being content to sit back and just continue to do it the way they've always done it, and sort of reinforce, sort of get a feeling of basically triumphantism. If I can continually put down ideas and never do anything new, I can feel that the fact that I'm being successful doing that, that makes it right. I don't know, it just makes the fact that you are a bigger stick in the mud, you can eventually dam and avert innovation so that it never flows into your area. And so you look at your ecosystem, it's dry, there's no innovation, no one ever does anything new. And that's because you've made it that way. It's not because that's the way it should be. It's the way that you've made it by not allowing anything new. So this is the major thing that we're going to really try and do, is try and sneak this through. And I've so far very, very interestingly approached one school. Oh, very interesting. No, we can't. I'm just the biggest lump of beans in a bag. You have to prod and push. And then when I finally do it, I want you to turn around and say, oh, gosh, I'm great. Then at the local RSL, oh, very good idea. Let's be polite and not say anything and not do anything. Let's go back to being also a big pile of beans. And, of course, that type of attitude is not the sort of attitude that got us into that mad place in the first place. So I'm not saying it's a great thing. I'm just saying that it is a wake-up call, that the sort of the bookend of this Gallipoli stuff is the fact that it's got so much inertia stopping it that it must be, It's, for me, equally fascinating. It's sort of, for me, it's fascinating that people got up and could do things so much, and there was just this, because there wasn't a lot out there, you only had to say one or two words, and then people, bing, you know, people were just told, oh, people behave in this way, and before you knew it, people were behaving in that way. I just think that people nowadays have been a whole lot of people not doing things. So it's just really interesting. And, of course, in both situations, there's cynical people sitting back at home making heaps of money out of war, misfortune, climate change, and they are feeding off a whole... They're depending on people... just accepting the status quo and moving forward. Sorry, that's sounding like an old person's rant, but it's not. It's someone who's determined to actually find a way to needle my way through. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.